All right, hey guys, I am here with Haywood Brandon, our franchise partner in the Grand Strand, which is Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, Conway, South Carolina, and Garden City. And we're going to dive into his story here in just a second. So let's go ahead and dive in. I'll give you guys a little bit of context to how this all started. So Myrtle Beach originally was, it was the very first location of ISI, started in 2013. And then we opened Conway, actually was the third location after Ainer, and then Garden City was the fourth location. Fast forward, this was before we were in franchising. This was still a mom and pop company. Fast forward to now we're franchising and you now own the three oldest, I guess you could say, locations within ISI. So I want you to share a little bit of your story. This is really about you and not about us or the brand, but really about your story. And obviously the brand plays a big part in it, but how did you, I guess, give us a story of what did you enter into? Were you in athletics growing up? Let's start there. And then from there, how did you hear about ISI and how did it really come about to where you acquired the three locations?
Yeah, so I started playing sports. I played U3 soccer at the YMCA with the Mesh Nets, and that was where sports got really involved in my life. The YMCA in Myrtle Beach was pretty far away, too. I think it was like 35 minutes away from my house, so I guess you want to call that commitment. When you're three, it doesn't matter. But I started playing sports really young. I got decent at basketball and soccer, played varsity, made varsity on both teams my freshman year. Wound up getting recruited by the Charleston Battery Academy team. Didn't play high school basketball my junior year. Pursued a career in soccer. Didn't come to fruition the way I wanted it to. Wound up quitting academy soccer. Came back to play high school sports, which was way more fun. And then, you know, I never wound up playing college sports. And that was a goal of mine. I think it's every kid's goal to become a professional athlete.
Yep.
Or at least, you know, kids that play sports. And when that didn't happen, I really had a hard time filling the void of like sport.
Yeah.
And I mean, I probably struggled with that for 6 years, like really until, so I, you know, I just did normal weightlifting stuff, blah, blah, blah. But then I started kind of finding groups again. I started training in jiu-jitsu, and kickboxing and things like that. And that kind of brought, I don't want to call that group fitness, but
right,
that was camaraderie and people around me. That was all through a little bit of my time. I went to Clemson, spent some time there, you know, still struggled with not having that hole in my life that was left behind from not playing sports anymore. And then married my wife, started my job with my family's marketing agency. It started out as a postcard company in the, ooh, I'm going to get yelled at for not knowing this. 64, maybe. Okay. 1964.
So your grandpa started?
Started it.
Okay.
Yeah, he worked 3 months a year just taking pictures of golf courses and selling them. Wow. And then golfed the rest of the year. But yeah, I spent all that time searching for something. And then group fitness kind of found its way into my life. And I didn't think I'd fall in love with it, but I certainly did.
Yeah.
And that's where ISI sort of fell into place.
Yeah, so well, Bree, your wife was and you guys newly married. Has it been a year yet?
It's been a year.
Yeah, just over a year, right?
April 30th.
That's right. So she was a member, and then you guys inquired when you found out that those three locations were for sale. So what was your, I guess, I always like asking this because from a guy's perspective, a lot of times when their wife is going, they're like, oh, that's just for girls or whatever. Yeah. It is. Like, was that your perspective? And then how did that transpire into saying like, man, I actually could see myself being a part of this and kind of acting on that?
It was absolutely my perspective. I think I didn't understand group fitness. I'd seen Hulu ads and, you know, pre-roll of just like, you know, not, you know, cardio based things. And I like to drop weights and make a little bit of noise, and I would not be a good Planet Fitness. I don't know if I can say that, but I would not be a good Planet Fitness member at all. And then I went with Bree, and I was so skeptical, but all she did was talk about how great it was. She loved the people, the coaches, and she was going at 6:15 a.m., which was crazy early, like, in my opinion, for, like, working out. And so I went with her one time, and I pretty much fell in love immediately. It was Flex Friday.
Nice.
So that was a great day to start. And, yeah, I think from there I kept going back. I didn't start out as, like, a regular recurring auto-pay member. It was more of a – I did a package deal.
What would you say? So now that you've been in there about 90 days, right? A couple things. Number one, what have you enjoyed the most about that? But then also kind of parlaying with, like, what is your guys' vision? You know, your Myrtle Beach is one of the highest membership bases in the entire brand, the oldest location. I still think has a lot of opportunity. Conway, Garden City, same thing. Even since taking over, I think you guys are up 40 or 50 members in Garden City.
Yep.
So I'm curious, your first 90 days, kind of give us a recap of what you've enjoyed and then also your vision.
I think getting to know the people has been my favorite part. Both the members and the team has been great. That's definitely what I was most nervous about, is building those relationships with people. But it's proven to be probably the most rewarding part. I can remember that first week I don't normally get stressed out anymore. I've done a good job of, like, giving that up to Christ or whatever. We don't have to get all religious, but I pray it away normally. But I can remember being so stressed out one day. And then our name dropper, Rose, was dancing on the turf when I walked in, and she had just worked out her 5 a.m. session. I remember seeing her dancing, and I was like, okay, that's what this is all about. She's happy. She's here. I got to show up for her now, too. So, you know, incredibly rewarding seeing how much the members enjoy it.
Yeah,
you know?
She's been a member for, like, 8 or 9 years now. Yeah. It's crazy.
She's one of the best ones we got, for sure. So
she's awesome. All right, so let's call a spade a spade. You're young, right? How old are you?
26,
entrepreneur. You obviously were in a career prior to this. You were, you had a team. You were in really the digital marketing side of things, right? For your guys' agency. How has specifically, whether it's leadership, whether it's digital marketing specifically, but how has that skill set really transferred over into entrepreneurship? And whether it's from a mindset, from whatever it is, I'm curious how, because there's a lot of people that, I mean, you went all in. You completely left what you were doing and are now all in a three-unit owner.
Yeah.
Right? So there's some people that are thinking about leaving corporate America and going all in. And so I'm curious, you know, a lot of times they don't have experience owning a gym. So they're like, I don't know if I can do it. But I think at the end of the day, a lot of those skills transfer over.
Yeah, my friends still think I'm crazy. My friend sent me a picture last night, not making fun of me, but kind of poking fun at the fact that I left what I would call a cushy job. I worked for my family's agency. Like, I wasn't going to get fired unless I really messed up, you know? I wasn't going anywhere. And it was nice. I loved it. I enjoyed working with my family, but I kind of had to burn those ships and start my own path. And so I was what you call an account manager at the agency. I dealt with all the different services we provided, and I was client facing.
Yep.
And so it is, clients are not always happy. You have to have tough conversations with clients all the time. And then I'm the middleman. I have to go back to my team and be like, hey, I would take the blame. I messed up here. We didn't do enough good enough job. That's my fault. So that quality translates really well to entrepreneurship. Yep. One, because there's always something wrong. You talked about that, like, literally yesterday.
Yep.
And I just say it is what it is. I can accept my reality really well because of that. I don't know how I have that trait, but, like, I'm pretty good at accepting the reality of what it is.
Yep.
And I just, okay, next step. What do we figure out? And that's good leadership quality. And you said it well yesterday. It's always your fault. I've never really said it like that. I've always said, we're never successful because of me. And when something goes wrong, it's always because of me. That's what I always told the team. So that translates here too. And
100%.
What I would also say is, like, from the marketing side of things, I was never the expert. Mm-hmm. You know, we had an expert in the website design. We had an expert in creative. We had an expert in paid media. And it was always in my best interest to elevate them to their highest potential. And that translates here as well with the sales team and the head performance coaches and just the regular performance coaches. And I want to put everybody in the best place to succeed. So
that's cool.
Yeah.
That's awesome. What is, and there's no right or wrong here. So what does success look like to you?
Like,
you could look at it as in life, right? And, or I mean, specifically, I'd love to hear that, but I'd also love to hear what it looks like within ISI and the three locations that you have.
Okay. Success for me is walking with Christ every single day. Yeah. So I'll just throw that out there for everybody to know where this next one might go. You know, success for me is, I mean, obviously we want to make money.
Yeah.
Like, obviously that's a no brainer. So we could probably throw that one out. But I think success for me is for those 50 minutes that those members are in there every day, I want those to be the best 50 minutes of their day. I want it to be 50 minutes where the stress is off their back. They're smiling. They're high-fiving. Someone calls them by name. You can work for years at a job and your higher-ups don't know your name.
Yeah. Yep.
Like, that's crazy. They don't get called by their name.
Yep.
And so I think just giving somebody the best 15 minutes of their day.
I love that.
So, yeah.
Simple, easy. And it's simple. It's not easy. And yeah. You got to do it through leadership.
Yep.
Right? And that's – so I'm curious, how do you take – What success looks like to you, and how are you working to train? Obviously, the first 90 days, you're drinking from a fire hose, learning everything, right? But how do you, over the long term, take that vision and that meaning of this is what success looks like and inspire and motivate the team and hold them accountable to them embodying that as something that they own as well?
Yeah, I think I'm learning. I learned some of that today, like at least the structure behind it. But these first 90 days or however long it's been exactly, I'm not totally sure, 75 maybe 75, or something.
75, yeah. July, was it May 1st?
May 1st.
Yeah.
So I'm really just trying to build that relationship with them.
Yep.
I don't want them to think I'm lazy or not someone they can rely on.
Yep.
I mean, I want them to see me mopping the floors. I mean, I installed the pull-up bars in Conway. I like all these things. I want them to know I'm bought in and present with them. So that's really been goal number one.
That's cool.
These first few months, yeah.
That's awesome. Cool. So here at ISI, we have our five core values. You got bring the energy, do the right thing, embrace change, we rise as one, we earn our results. Which one of those specifically do you resonate with the most and why?
Embrace change. I think I took there's a test you take and it tells you like,
Enneagram?
We'll call it that.
This?
But it said my number one trait was adaptability.
Okay.
I don't know what the test is called, but I've always been good at that. Like I said earlier, I can accept my reality.
Yeah.
You know, like that's just how I've always been good at that. And it's always been something that I've I view things as an opportunity to get better.
Yeah.
So like when I would get my reviews at my old job, I remember I got a 2 out of 5 one time and I was so upset about it, but I looked at the feedback and I was like, okay, yeah, this is totally correct. Like,
yeah,
I have significant room to improve. And then the next one, I got a 4 out of 5 and
that's
I wanted a 5 out of 5 and you know, so there's still room to improve. So that's just kind of how I view things.
All right. Last question here. So what would you tell somebody who's going through the process of, I mean, there's tons of people who are looking at opening an ISI across the country.
Yeah.
What would you say to them as far as like your experience and how you've really dove into understanding support structure down to, I mean, you come from a marketing agency, so the marketing support, assets, collateral, all of that. What would you say to them when it comes down to that?
Well, I think what you're given from HQ is awesome. Like I feel like I'm a bird in a nest. Like I know that like at the end of the day, like I can always go back to the nest and I'm going to have help.
Yep.
I've got assets for social. I've got assets for paid. The whole entire Frank Connect like portal. I can find about anything in there. And if I don't, I click ask corporate. And 30 minutes later, there it is.
Has that made going into entrepreneurship for the first time I don't want to say easy because it's never easy, right?
Right.
But a little bit more, I don't know, comforting.
For sure. And I think, I'm not trying to call it a head start, but that's kind of what it is.
Yeah.
Right? Like, y'all are available. I mean, yeah. You'd have a head start.
I always say franchising is like this beautiful thing because you're in business for yourself, but you're not by yourself.
Yeah.
And it's like, at the end of the day, from someone who started it from the ground up, oftentimes you feel so lonely. You don't know, am I doing the right thing? Then you got to go learn. And a lot of times you don't have the resources. Yeah. And so I love franchising. But, well, hey, man, I'm so glad you're part of the brand. And yeah. I'm super excited for you. So thanks for joining us. And
yeah.
He's here at Iron U getting it in this week.
A lot of learning to do.